Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, I'm sprinting down the hallway here because I was in the middle of finding some audio. You know, I had the story from the last hour, and ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate some patience there over the second hour bumper music because we did not have a business report. So, unfortunately, I was not prepared to start the show on time. But here's the deal. I talked about this Utah mom. I do think this is somewhat interesting because, I don't know, my sister was all irate about this. She thought, well, this woman is of means. And if you see the actual television story, and I'm going to play, hopefully I'm going to play some of this. Alex is trying to put it in here in just a second. But I don't think he understood what I was asking him to do because it should be in there already, but we'll see. So there it is. She's a mother of means, so she's not living in a impoverished situation. She's got a bunch of kids. Her husband's not home. Here's what the story says.
911, what's the address of your emergency?
It's 2:12 a.m. and Shannon Bird doesn't have a way to feed her 6-week-old baby.
And I have no formula, and I have no idea how I can get formula to her. And I've been calling neighbors, and no one will answer.
She tells the dispatcher that her milk suddenly dried up.
So this is my fifth kid. This has never happened.
With the rest of her five children sleeping, one in a cast and her husband out of town, she asks for help.
That's the what you're hearing there is like the body camera. So some of this audio is from the officer's body camera. They get there, they want to help, and you'll hear they bought some milk, but that didn't work.
Officers with Lone Peak Police answer the call.
She's like a brand new baby.
Even stopping at the convenience store to grab a gallon of milk, which they quickly learn won't do the trick.
What kind of formula does she need?
I don't even know. I've never done it.
Okay.
Like a newborn stuff.
Okay.
Now, that was kind of weird to me. She said, I don't know. I've never done it because I guess now I don't want to be insensitive here. My wife and certainly my ex-wife, they did some breastfeeding, but wouldn't you still sort of know what kind of formula you needed? I don't know. Maybe that's unfair. So I don't want to get into any kind of insensitive category. Lord knows I don't need that right now, but here's what it sounded like throughout the rest of this little visit with police.
I'm so sorry.
The officers then offered a run to Walmart.
We'll leave this with you, and we'll be right back with some formula for your baby, okay?
Okay.
She's adorable.
A short time later, they return with formula.
Are you sure?
Yeah, 100%. So, sorry, we can't take any money.
The same kind one of the officers used to feed his newborn.
So hopefully it doesn't upset her stomach or anything.
Well, glad we could help you out.
I was not expecting them to go and get that food for me. Like, honestly, I just was like, maybe you guys can even just patrol my house while I'm away. And you know, I wake up my 8-year-old.
To this mom, this is a priority for her.
Lone Peak spokesperson applauds his fellow officers, saying this case, while unique, isn't much different than helping change a tire.
Oh, it's been about protect and serve. This is part of the serve. We are here to serve the public.
Bird can't thank her middle-of-the-night helpers enough.
I had never been that frantic. Like, what do you do? Thank you for helping people in situations where they can't help themselves in emergencies.
Now, I don't even know what to think about that. My sister sends that story. She's all irate. And before I had even watched it earlier today, I said, yeah, I'm going to check it out. And she says, I wanted to read this because I thought it was kind of harsh, but maybe some people feel this. She said, she's a disgrace. If it was a poor, underprivileged mother who had no means to feed her child, I would feel differently. Lady lives in a huge, amazing house, which is true. It's a big house, but the cops seemed happy to do it. I don't know. That might be a tough one as far as deciding who is right and who is wrong. What would the other choices be? I'm going to ask Carol that question. We'll see if we can get an answer either later today or tomorrow. So I don't have, does the XFL have a theme? Because I'm unaware if they do. So I'm going to play the Fox NFL Sunday theme because we're going to talk about the St. Louis Battlehawks and our Battlehawks correspondent, Chris in the Country, with us this afternoon. He's texting me before the game yesterday, like all these notes about the team. You acted like I cared, Chris.
Yeah, well, yeah, I figured you do, Mark. I mean, it's football, my friend.
All right. Well, I've said in the last couple of weeks, I am not, you know, without curiosity about the Battle Hawks. I watched last week. I did not watch the game yesterday at all. So I apologize for that. It was a close game. They couldn't get it done. But look, they're coming back home here. And I think it's, no matter what you think about the XFL, and I'm still a little skeptical, although I like the rules changes, to sell out the entire lower bowl at the Dome for this year, that's pretty impressive, I think.
Yes, it is. I believe, what is it, 30,000 now?
I think around there. Are you going?
I'm trying, man. We were supposed to go, but we got to go to next week's game.
because I'm going to be in Mexico, so we're going to go to a game definitely coming up here. So, how did they do yesterday? Give me the breakdown.
Now,
just to give listeners perspective, Chris has been nagging me about the XFL forever, right? Ever since this was just bubbling underneath the surface. You're like, XFL, XFL. I've been a skeptic. Not something that I was really interested in. When the rules got rolled out, I thought, all right, well, this is kind of interesting. I really like the kickoffs as well. So you sent me a picture not too long ago with about 17 pages of notes, highlighted, red, all kinds of scribble. We have like 3 minutes here. You realize that.
Okay, well, I thought we had a 10-minute segment, but I'll hurry up then, Mark. I'll hurry up.
You're going to do 10 minutes on the XFL. We're not doing 10 minutes on the XFL right now, Chris.
All right, here we go. The offense did pick up yesterday. All right, Jordan Tamu, he passed for 30 to 37 for 284 yards. Three touchdowns, man, and he rushed for one. So the kid was on fire.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That was really good. Now, our running game was pretty crappy. You can't average 2.9 yards a carry and expect to win a game. But one of our Mizzou guys, LaDainian Washington, he had 6 for 8, 77 yards, and he caught a touchdown too. And then there's this little kid. He's a little guy. He's not a kid, I guess, but Pearson L, receiver, 50 yards, 5.6 per gain on it, and he had scored a touchdown too. But he's more like a little scat back. You know, we have Hakeem, who's our wide receiver coach, and he's kind of, I guess, trying to be, you know, our little slot back guy. But he's a lot of promise, but he kept getting stuck behind the line of scrimmage. And, I mean, it's what killed us and why we lost the game yesterday is we were 0 for 4 on these extra points. We need to bring the kick into this game.
Yeah, you know, I think you said that last week, and it's interesting because I don't think I saw one conversion in the first game. So I don't think they're going to change that. But what you would suggest would be give them the one-point option for the kick and then still leave those other options in there?
Yes, correct. I mean, we had the time possession yesterday. We had the ball for 37 minutes compared to the Roughnecks 22 minutes. With us even having 2 turnovers, we should have statistically won that game. You know, and it's like now next week's game where we're playing, you know, here at the Dome, sold out crowd. We got the New York Guardians coming in. If you would have watched the game yesterday, Kevin Gilbride, who was the offensive coordinator from the Giants, the guy was hot. Him and the quarterback were going at it. So I think the Battle Hawks should kick the living crap out of these guys, you know, on next Sunday.
Happy. You're not very happy about the performance yesterday.
No, not really. I was very upset at it. A lot of offsides again. Poor tackling. The defense, like I said, they did really well. They held them to 137 yards, you know, but on passing, it's I don't know. It wasn't that good of a game yesterday.
Well, as far so as early. Chris, I want you to chin up, buddy.
So early, my friend.
Chin
I will,
up.
Man. I will.
Is anyone in this league 2-0 right now?
Yeah.
There's got to be, right?
Are.
Yeah.
The Roughnecks are, so is Washington, D.C., but the Cordell, I forget the kid's name, he played for Ohio State. I'm trying to keep it all together, man. It's a new league, 8 teams, and I'm starting out going by the fly. You got to bear with me, folks.
The Roughnecks play the Vipers next weekend. The Renegades play the Sea Dragons. The Guardians here in St. Louis play the Battlehawks and the D.C. Defenders, the L.A. Wildcats, next week. Week 3 of the XFL. Chris will be with us, breaking everything down, full of notes. Well, full of something, I would say.
Exactly.
But I appreciate your help,
Mark,
this afternoon. All right, we'll see you. He's so fired up about the XFL. Dan Buff is with me this afternoon. We're going to talk about a variety of things. Are you an XFL guy at all, Dan? You love the Cardinals. You love hockey. I've not seen a lot of tweets from Dan Buff, who pretty much tweets every 3 minutes on the XFL. Hang on 1 second. I don't think I have the right mic up there. Hold on. It's very confusing to
Stand
me.
By.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah, you know, I've kept track of the team. I've watched some highlights. I haven't really watched a full game yet, so I haven't really clicked into the Battle Hawk battle cry just yet, but yeah. I'm going to, though.
I haven't watched the whole game either just because of time. I didn't get a chance to watch anything from yesterday. I watched maybe the better portion of one half last weekend, but I'm going to try to go to a game. I mean, I think I said this at the onset of the show. You just walked in here to have they're not going to open the upper bowl, so that's not even in the mix. But if they end up with a sellout in the lower bowl, which it sounds like they're going to.
Yeah, 28,000,
I'd say that's a pretty good number, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of interest. I think there's a lot of, you know, Rams fans that were scorned, and they just want a team to support. So as long as they're entertaining and they can have a couple stars you can latch on to, I think this thing can keep going. Of course, nobody really knows if it's going to be sustainable. I think it's just enjoy it while it's here.
I did not watch the NBA All-Star game. There were a lot of Kobe Bryant-related festivities and honorable moments. But did you hear Chaka Khan do the national anthem, Dan?
I did not.
Okay, I'm just going to warn people. Now, we've had lessons like this in the past, okay? I don't think the national anthem is just one of those songs that you want to change the melody dramatically. Everyone sort of puts their own spin on it.
Sure.
I think there have been some spectacular versions of the national anthem. There have been some major fails like Roseanne Barr and others. But here's Chaka Khan. And you can hear her trying to do something a little different.
Oh, say, can you see the dawn's early light?
Some of that sounds okay, right?
It sounds like, yeah.
Oh, just wait. It gets not better.
At the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars.
By the way, she's kind of getting roasted for this today because there's been a lot of reaction. I think more people are talking about the national anthem because nobody watched the game.
Than the actual game, yeah.
For the ramparts we watched were so gay.
Okay, that's it. I'm not going
to.
Yeah, I'm not going to do any more. But that. Why would you do that?
I don't know why. Finish that.
Right. I don't know why the lesson has not been learned before, Dan. I mean, there's countless examples of people messing around with the national anthem. She's still got a. Sounds like she's got a pretty good voice. Why not just go up there?
I mean, Demi
belt it out.
I mean, Demi did a good job at the Super Bowl. I mean, she didn't extend it too much. She didn't just do it like verbatim. She kind of added her own little thing to it.
I thought she was great. Absolutely. Yeah. I thought she was great. All right. Buff is going to hang out a little bit this hour. I got a bunch of things I want to talk to you about. We have some entertainment-related topics as well in the aftermath of Parasite winning the Oscar last week. And how about Sonic the Hedgehog, Dan, doing
good
big
for that
box office?
Good for Jim Carrey.
It was a good movie, too.
It was fun.
Here's what's interesting about that movie, and you know this. Sonic was changed because of Twitter backlash about a year ago. We'll explain that coming up on KMOX.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to.
Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon, KMOX.
For the love of football. It's time for victory. We make it.
Well, I should have known there was an XFL theme. I just didn't have it handy, so here you go. That's aggressive, right? You like that, Buffa?
Yeah, and I'm ready to go to the gym after watching that, to listen to that.
Speaking of which, I addressed this a little bit at the beginning of the show. So my habits have been just terrible lately. Haven't been working out very much.
No?
I got into golf last couple of years, so I used to ride my bike a lot. And during the winter, it gets tough. So two things over the weekend. I did something for charity at Wellbridge in Clayton, where I got on a spin bike for a half an hour. My ass had not been on a bike, like a real bike, for a long time, almost 2 years. And then this is the tougher part. I'm going on vacation in a few weeks, and I thought, you know what? And I'm doing it really not to lose weight, but just to maybe feel better. So I quit sugar for the most part. So I used to, people don't believe me because I'm lean. You know, I'm not overweight. Yeah. But I eat donuts, and I eat candy. I eat a lot of candy. So I decided to strip sugar. I didn't think I was going to make it through day one.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced I'm going to make it through today. It's tough, and I've done this before. But
it's hard to cut something out.
Man, it is really,
you know,
really
for
tough.
Me, I mean, it's just a lot of things I eat are just a mood boost. It's not even really about eating a meal, filling your stomach up, but just, man, this is going to make my day better.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not making my day better, and I'm, sacrificing the sugar high for better health and hopefully some energy and focus as well. All right, so this is funny. Dan and I were talking about this during the break, and I had no idea that you've been tagged on Twitter. This thing blew up last week, and I want to revisit it because Wendy Williams is now talking about it. Wendy Williams, not the talk show host, she's had her own controversy about gay men in heels last week, which is also interesting. But this is the Wendy Williams who was on the American Airlines flight. And she, now the whole story is coming out a little bit, and I don't know if people have heard the whole story. She's sitting down. She reclines the seat. The guy's behind her, and he's just doing that to her seat. Becomes a viral
moment. Just knocking on her seat.
Now, you have been accused of what?
So when this happened and that video broke, now on Twitter, you can quote tweet it. So that they'll quote tweet and go, man, Buffa's got some bad airplane manners. And I'm like, wait a minute. And all you see is that the guy's bald. He's got glasses, and you see the side of a beard. So every time there's a mark of a guy who is bald and has a beard, does something wrong, I am.
It's you.
I'm basically the first person the cops talk to.
You know what's funny is when that video first got out, you could see the guy's face at least partially. But then they started blurring it.
Yeah, they started blurring it. Yeah. They didn't want to. I can only imagine if you're that guy.
Well, that's the thing. But let's listen to her story. Now, I'm a firm believer, Dan, in the notion that everything, there's two sides of the story of everything, right? So I'm going to hear her side of the story. I haven't heard his side of the story. I did hear that some of this is a reference that I heard earlier today, that some of this started with a spilled drink. And she doesn't make any mention of that. But here's basically how it all started.
I was leaving a teacher's conference and we got onto the plane, and the man behind me, as soon as we got in the air, I reclined, and he asked me if I would not, you know, I would put my seat back up while he ate, which I did, and about 10 minutes later, he was done, and I put my seat back down, at which point he started full-on punching the back of my seat really hard.
All right, point of reference, Dan. I am a recliner. I would do exactly what she did when we got up into the air. I would recline my seat the 2 inches that it reclines. I would not do it forcefully. I have taken notice, believe it or not, to extremely large, tall people behind me because I feel bad about that. Yeah. And I understand that they're cramped. But I made this comment last week, I'm not a person just posture-wise that is comfortable at all in that upright position, so that's why I recline. I mean, it's kind of a tight space.
It's
uncomfortable for me to do that. So, are you a recliner?
You know, in the few times I have flown, yes, I do like to recline, especially when that plane takes off or we're in the air. It's just kind of a comfortable thing because if not, you're really scrunched into those rows. I mean, I've flown on United and Southwest, and they're both just so tight. So, yes, I am a recliner. But I will say if I had not to recline, I wouldn't be miserable, though.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Here's what she says.
So, at that point, I was trying to get the flight attendant's attention, and she wasn't responding. So, all I could think to do was to video the guy, and maybe I thought that would stop him.
So that's interesting. She says the flight attendant wasn't responding. And American Airlines did issue a statement saying, blah, 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 we're looking into this and all that. And by the way, is it an accident that this happened on American Airlines? I don't think so. Because they're just terrible.
They just got a bad reputation.
Well, that's because they're terrible.
Yeah.
And for those of you who work for them, I'm sorry. But here's a dramatic difference. And I think people who fly on a regular basis, if you go on a Southwest flight and you see their flight attendants and how happy they are and how funny they are and how sarcastic they are, and then you get with the crabby flight attendants on American Airlines who hate their world and they hate their life because they know their company sucks, it's not shocking to me that these types of things keep happening on American Airlines. Personally, there's another, I saw some tweets and I'm going to follow up on this tomorrow. There's a friend of mine who had some experiences, actually a guy who works in our building, Alex Rich, who was coming back from Cabo on American, and he's just ripping them on social.
Oh, really?
So I want to hear his story tomorrow. All right, so she says the flight attendant didn't really help. Here's the rest of the story. This goes on.
So I got my video or my phone out, and I started videoing him, and at the beginning you'll see he says something to me like, what were you doing? I asked you to put your seat up while I ate, and then as soon as I was done, you reclined again.
Now, I didn't really know that because I haven't heard the beginning part of the video. By the way, this interview is on Fox and Friends.
And I thought, I did exactly what you asked, and then you started punching me. There was no conversation in between that and the punching. Yeah. So when I put my phone up and I thought, I'm just going to keep videoing this guy because nobody else was doing anything. And I thought he would completely stop, but he continued throughout.
Yeah.
As you can see, just poking. Like, it was nothing compared to what he was doing prior.
I thought that was interesting because if you see the video and you watch it, it does look like he's pressing the back. He's like poking it a little bit repeatedly.
Yeah, he's kind of punching it, but lightly though, but then really quickly and with repetition.
But she says, and again, she started recording. You have to take her word for it. This again, we don't know what happened before that. She says that basically he was punching, and then when she started recording, he wasn't doing it as forcefully. And then finally, this.
To sue. That's.
I missed the beginning. The question is, are you going to sue? This part makes me uncomfortable, but listen to her explanation.
Are you going to sue?
That is it as far as the steps that I've taken thus far. I am just consulting with an attorney. I've spoken to him. He's an aviation lawyer, and he and I are going to sit down this week and decide what we want to do, because I just feel like I have been, like, the hits just kept on coming, literally and figuratively, from the guy, then the flight attendant.
Sure.
When she finally did come around, she had an attitude with me and said, "What?" And I said, "The guy behind me is repeatedly hitting me."
That's amazing, by the way, if that's true. Now, we'll have a little bit more on American Airlines and their response in a second. But if that's in fact true, where the flight attendant, this is where, you know, and I have natural skepticism. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I believe everything that she is saying, because, again, there's usually two sides to the story.
And she went back to him and, like, changed personalities and was the kindest person in the world. And said, "Oh, are you okay? It's really tight back here. I'm sorry." And then she said to me, "Delete the video." And
I'd never heard that, Dan. Delete the video.
Wow.
Are you trying to tell me
what to do with your own phone? This is kind of like when you walk into the restaurant and the host and the waitresses are just, they don't want to be there. And you get bad service and you say, "Hey, my food's bad," but they don't care. You know, imagine that on an airline.
Well, that is terrible customer service.
It's terrible.
In fact, it's true. And then she wraps it up by saying that.
Sure. Why would I delete the video? And she walked away, and they started drink service. And when they got to me, she said that she made sure that the other flight attendant, I guess, quote unquote, dealt with me. Mm-hmm. And I quickly declined my complimentary drink. And listen to what was happening behind me.
So wouldn't you, and there's one more question I'll get to on the response from AA, but wouldn't you love to have the entire context of this video? Because again, I think people, maybe that's exactly what happened. I'm not saying that it didn't happen that way.
There's got to be somebody somebody's going to come out and say, "I was sitting across from it," and they have the whole video.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened already, or that we saw this woman doing that, or this guy was truly being a jerk. Because from the video, no matter where you are in this, especially hearing, I think this might change perspectives, because she got hammered. And I'm surprised by how many people thought that she was not the victim. But I think it changes the narrative a little bit when she says that she did put the seat up while he was eating, and then when he was done eating, she goes back into the other position. So the question that they ask her on the interview this morning is, have you heard from American Airlines?
I heard from them and a few of the, but this was after everything went viral.
Yeah.
I tried to talk to them via email, and, you know, I sent them the video in its entirety and tried to let them know that this was not okay. And they basically gave me a, you know, that same statement, like, "We try to train our employees to do X,
Wendy,
Y, and Z,"
real quickly,
but that clearly didn't happen.
Wendy, have you heard from that guy?
No, I wish he would come out of the woodwork.
Yeah. I wish he would, too. That'd be interesting. And then, Dan, the Delta CEO comes out, and this is somewhat controversial, says, "Yeah, you should maybe ask if you're going to recline." Now, I'm on a flight to Vegas on Friday morning. I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to pay attention to my surroundings, but I don't think I'm going to ask if I can recline.
The Reardon experience on an airline.
Should I record it the whole time?
You should record it. Put up two cameras.
multiple cameras.
Multiple cameras.
Well, I'm on Southwest, so I'm going to expect better treatment from the flight attendants at least. Dan and I were just sitting in here talking movies because he reviews over at KSDK and I do here and at Channel 4. And I was telling you, you have not seen Call of the Wild. It opens this week with Harrison Ford. But there is an actress in there, you know, every once in a while. I don't like to look at the you know, the details of the movie, which is why when I saw Downhill last week with Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Will Ferrell, I thought that it was going to be a different movie. But then I realized 5 minutes in that it was a remake of Force Majeure, which is a much better Swedish film. But Call of the Wild, What I did was I just look on IMDb and I look at the cast, right? And Harrison Ford is in this cast, and I noticed the name of someone. I'm like, man, that name looks familiar. Who is that? Jean Louisa Kelly is the actress's name. She plays a really small role in here as the wife of, I think it's the governor, and played by Bradley Whitford. Jean Louisa Kelly, if you're in any way, shape, or form a movie fan, certainly from the 80s, was the dark-haired, bratty niece in Uncle Buck.
The one that had, like, the curly brown hair, yeah. Wore the long beige coat. Had like she were, if there was an Oscar for best pout, she'd probably win it.
Absolutely, but yeah. I don't really, I'm looking at maybe some of the things that she's done because she's had to have been working. It looks like she's got a lot of
TV
and just yeah. where most people, this happens with a lot of the younger maybe actors and actresses that were famous when they were kids. They still work. You just might not recognize yeah. them.
If they don't have it, roles. They usually get pushed back to like that fifth or sixth second, you know, TV character on the reoccurring series and, you know, they hang around a little bit.
I bring it up though because for me, I don't know about you, and there's always movies that, and I see tweets about this,
oh, yeah.
and I've even done some caller topics about this, where if you run across a movie, are you going to stay on it and watch it for a little while? And Uncle Buck is one of those movies
yeah.
that I always watch because I love John Candy. It's just a sweet movie with a great role from him, and the kids are good. So I thought that was
interesting. It was a classic Candy role. It was yeah. funny, but it had a lot of heart.
Let's revisit just one thing from, well, two things entertainment-wise. One, Oscar-related, which is we talked about Parasite. Both
yeah.
of us did not include Parasite in our top 10, 15.
I watched it again.
Okay, so did you have a different impression?
I did, and this time I watched it in a theater. I took my wife on Saturday to the Tivoli, and it was just the perfect kind of theater to watch this movie. And I got a lot of what Bong Joon-ho was trying to tell me that I didn't get at home. At home, you're just more easily distracted. In the theater, you're in it. You're in the movie. A lot of the themes of the movies hit me harder. Now, I wouldn't give it Best Picture, but it would probably move up the ranking of the Best Picture nominees. It'd probably move up a little bit. I enjoyed it a lot more the second time.
I think I probably owe it a second viewing. I didn't dislike the movie.
I laughed a lot more in the theater in the second time. I think I got more of the humor, the dark humor in the movie.
You know what I watched the other night? I had not seen it a second time. And my wife, we go through this process. She hasn't seen many of these movies. She had seen Parasite. But we watched Ford versus Ferrari on
yeah.
Friday night. And, you know, I think even that movie holds up a little bit better for me on a second
yeah.
spin. I don't think it was that, and that was a movie that did not make my top 10. It was not my Best Picture caliber,
yeah.
but immensely entertaining. And I thought that Christian Bale and the whole cast were great.
Ken
really.
Miles, yeah. I mean, I thought as far as a pairing of two actors, Damon and Bale were probably right up there for me that year. Right? Not like DiCaprio Pitt level, but as far as putting two guys in the right roles together,
yeah, really
that was great.
Really good. One of the stories that has come across this afternoon, you might have heard Carol talk about this. Pier 1 is essentially closing down. Now, Dan, you don't strike me as the kind of guy, and maybe I'm wrong about this, that would stroll into a Pier 1 or something like that and buy things for the house. Am I wrong or am I right?
I remember going to the one next to Crestwood Mall. My mom would spend an hour, so I would go up to that second level, sit on the couch, and look over at Crestwood Mall while she shopped. That's basically my Pier 1 experience.
Hashtag mall history in St. Louis. And by the way, I'll have another story related to
yes.
that in just a second. I'm actually, in my household, the shopper. So I buy
oh, right.
the clothes for my daughter, buy a lot of clothes for myself. I buy things for my wife. I buy things
it's
for
good.
The house. Most of the furniture that we have, not all of it, are things that it's just something that I've done.
Yeah.
I like to spend money. I like to spur the economy. And I used to go to Pier 1 occasionally, but they seem to be, look, you have all kinds of retailers out there that didn't look ahead enough.
No.
Circuit City. You know, why did Circuit
yeah.
City go away? Because Best Buy did it better.
Demolished it.
And even H.H. Gregg didn't survive. Sears.
Borders, Barnes & Noble. I know one of them's still around in the West County Mall. Is it Barnes & Noble?
I think it's Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
Yeah. But how long will that last,
Walton
right?
Walton Books.
yeah. So here's something else that came across retail related. Chesterfield Mall has sold. Michael Stainberg's company, the Stainberg Group, has completed its purchase of the struggling Chesterfield Mall, is moving forward to develop something called Downtown Chesterfield.
Mm-hmm.
The move comes following
the
firm's acquisition of Sears department store attached to the mall nearly 2 years ago, the same week the company bought Taubman Prestige Outlets. That property is now being called Chesterfield Outlets and is expected to be rebranded as The District, shifting from being a shopping area to one that has multiple restaurant and entertainment offerings. Chesterfield Mall is my old stomping ground, Stan. You know, when you were
yeah.
in high school, I went to Parkway West early 1980s.
Yeah.
What do you do on a Friday night? You go to Chesterfield Mall. And I even worked at that mall. My only real work experience outside of working on a farm when I was a kid, I worked one summer between 1984. It was the summer of 1984 between my freshman and sophomore year at Mizzou. I was doing a bunch of record business stuff at the time. And
there you go.
I sought advice from some of the folks in promotion. They said, get a little retail experience. So I worked at Camelot Music. Do you remember Camelot Music?
Yes. There was one in the Galleria. Yes, yes. And I had family out there. So every Friday night, we'd go out there to the mall. And we would go to Pasta House, but then while we waited for our table, we'd go to that Pets place across from Pasta House. That was every Friday night.
I remember about Camelot, they never let me run the register because they had a different model. And
okay.
What I was on the floor of the store to help people find music. So they were trying to distinguish themselves, and maybe they did this, I don't know, between, you know, you could also go to Record Bar. They're at Streetside Records, Peaches, at the time. But at Camelot Music, they wanted to help people that were strolling in, probably the more undereducated music fans.
Sure.
And they'd say, hey, I'm looking for this. Can you help me? And I had a fair amount of music knowledge. I remember the number one request was for Julio Iglesias. I mean, and I had to restock the records and stuff like that. The guy had about 300 albums out at the time in the 80s. That's, by the way, Enrique's father. So that was an interesting experience. And I had the option when I worked at that store. They gave you a half an hour paid half an hour unpaid, sorry, 15 minutes paid. So if you took a 15-minute break, you still get paid. Well, hell yeah, I'm taking the 15-minute break.
Yeah.
The only place that was close enough for me to get food was Hardee's. I ate at Hardee's approximately 780 times that summer, and I've only eaten at Hardee's maybe twice since.
Yeah, you guys broke up on good terms.
Yeah, but fond memories of the Chesterfield Mall. Okay, now I need some advice on one other thing here this afternoon.
Okay,
and quite honestly, I'm not exactly sure how to handle it. I've long had this, it's sort of a joke, Dan. You and I maybe even joked about it before, where I feel very strongly that Christmas lights are allowed on a home before Thanksgiving, but they should not be flipped on before, and I give you the night before Thanksgiving.
Sure.
I put mine on the night before Thanksgiving. But, you know, you have people at the end of October even getting lights on their house and into November. Don't flip those on until, you know, a certain point. Then on the flip side is, I'd say, you know, about a week after New Year's is your limit with having those lights on. And then you get to the final point. What's the final point? Removing them from your house
right. Before Valentine's Day.
Which would be a good thing, right? So I even came up on Facebook memories the other day. There was something where I had posted something along these lines because I joke about, and sometimes I wonder if people think I'm serious, it being a federal offense to have your Christmas lights up too long. So I put Christmas lights, and this is actually a pretty serious topic, and I'm not sure how to handle it. I put Christmas lights on my trees and my shrubs, if you will, myself. But even though I have a ranch, I don't really want to get up on a roof. It's a high-pitched roof. And I met a guy 6 years ago in my old neighborhood. His name is Andrew. I won't give you his last name. He was doing Christmas lights on my neighbor's home. And I said, hey, and I had a two-story home at the time, previous home that I live in right now. I'm like, hey, how much does that cost? And he said, oh, and gave me the price. It was a pretty good price. Yeah, well, you do that for my house. So I've used him every year. This probably would have been the fifth year that I've hired him. So he comes over and he does the lights, and I always pay him up front, except for there's like a $30 or $20 sort of deposit because he comes back to get the lights. So when he comes back to get the lights, then I pay him the rest of the money, right?
Yeah.
And I get a text from him early in January, you know, because I said, hey, one of the lights coming down. You know, I wouldn't mind having him down by mid-month, right?
Yeah.
He said, a little behind schedule, blah, blah, blah. And then he shoots a text out and it says, and I can't remember the exact wording, but it seemed to indicate that he was having trouble collecting money from some of the clients. And he said, hey, is there any way, you guys are sort of the A-list clients, that you could shoot me $20, because it was the $20 that I owed him anyway.
Yeah.
So I thought, and this is, I'm just going to tell you what I did to add perspective. And I will also tell you, I don't do this all the time. I do it occasionally. I did it in this situation. I'm getting more empathetic as I get older, Dan.
It's going to happen.
I get the message. The guy's done great work for me in the past, and I shoot him $100 on Venmo. I'm like, you know what, dude, it's all good. I'm going to help you out here. And I said, he responded. He goes, really? you know, when he saw how much came in, I said, yeah. Sure. I said, this should put me in line, you know, for next year.
Yeah. Happy
to do it. You've done a great job. So then I get a text about a week later. This is late January that says, hey, I've been kind of sick and I'm behind on getting the lights. And I said, it's cool. I'm trying to be patient. I said, I'm having a Super Bowl party. This is like the week before, maybe even 10 days before the Super Bowl. So I'm having a Super Bowl party. Would you mind getting the lights off by then? Well, so then the Super Bowl party comes and I text him and no response. And then I text again. And now I'm at the point where I'm three texts in and he's gone, I guess.
He's gone.
Now, I want to allow for, look, people have bad things that happen in their lives,
sure.
Right? Cancer, depression. I don't know what it could be.
Big car accident. You never know.
Have no idea. But on the other hand, there was a lot of communication. And now there's a couple of different scenarios. A, I don't really think he meant to stiff me because originally he was just asking me for $20. So now he's probably so embarrassed, he might not even contact me again. I honestly don't know. The bigger issue is I have lights on top of my house and I'm the guy that preaches about not having lights and my neighbors who I've made fun of for having their lights up or too early are driving by my house saying, Reardon, you idiot, you still have your Christmas lights on.
Yeah.
Now I did take the ones off the shrubs, but at this point, how do you even handle that?
You know, I almost think you're going to have to just pull a Clark Griswold and get on top of that roof, Mark. I think you're going to have to, like, you know, maybe use a cable, you know, maybe get up there. There might be a fall. You might have to do your own stunts. Maybe get a stuntman first to get the ones up there. But I think at this point, what if they're still up by the time the Cardinals are playing spring training?
Well, that
games?
Would be terrible, wouldn't it? I should be fined. But one of my other neighbors said that if I just get like an extension pole or something, they come off very easy. So if I can just sort of, you know, I don't want to damage the gutters or anything else. I don't know. It's a unique situation.
It is.
I do feel bad for the guy because, you know, maybe something's going on.
Something's
that I'm
really
unaware
wrong.
Of.
Yeah.
But he had been responding up until the point where I got a little impatient and now nothing. Dan, hang on. We still have an audio cut of the day coming up here this afternoon. Roger Brand has traffic next on KMOX. We got to get to audio cut of the day. Dan Buffa from KSDK is with me this hour on this President's Day. He's a huge Cardinals guy, tweets all the time about the Blues and the Cardinals. Give your Twitter handle out, Dan.
@Buffa82. That's where the stream of consciousness goes out about the sports teams.
So you have this cheating scandal with the Astros, and the apology tour that went on last week did not help the Houston Astros in the least bit, did it? In fact, I think a lot of people would argue at this point it made it worse, didn't it?
I think they have extra shovels and they're standing in and they're just digging their grave when really they should just stop talking, because everything that comes out of their mouth is just robotic. It's not the truth. It's like they're reading a statement that was given to them by the most boring writer of all time. At this point, they want to start playing baseball, but this is going to be the longest spring training of all time for the Houston Astros.
So let's do this as audio cut of the day, because it certainly falls into
all
of this. Let's do it. Here we go.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, Dan, here is what Rob Manfred, he is the MLB commissioner, said about the punishment. You know, because some people are wondering, should the World Series title be taken away, things along those lines.
You had four really respected baseball people, Jeff Luhnow, A.J. Hinch, Alex Cora, and Carlos Beltran, that lost their jobs over this.
All right, so basically his point is that's a pretty good punishment.
I think losing your job in a sport like baseball, where there's really no substitute, is a pretty serious deterrent.
What do you think about that? Is that going to fly?
I think a serious deterrent is cheating and is trying to like make it seem. Well, first it was like, oh, well, it didn't really make us win it. And then they kept going on, well, you know, we're good players. They keep talking. They're just putting more gasoline on the fire.
I think they won't do this, but every major league team should do a garbage can night when the Astros come to visit.
They should.
Bang on that garbage can, play the song, bang on the drums, and respond that way.
Yeah, Jack Flaherty of the Cardinals is ready. He says if they're going to face him in the spring, there's going to be some hit-by-pitches. Let's put it that way.
Dude, full club workout today. We'll hear about it from Jupiter, Chris Raby. Dan Buffa, good to see you, man. Have a great week.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.